Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Shalom. Shalom. Peace. Peace to everyone. There's a storm of brewing. There are lots of things that are on the horizon. The Gentiles have lost their way. They do not seem to be able to recognize their error, and they still believe as a group, as a global group, they still believe that they have a chance. And one of the things that I thought about this week, especially after the shooting, I want to say in Nashville school, these are things that are being put forth to judgment. And we know this. But what I thought about was the empathy in it. So I have empathy for death and destruction. I think that it's not necessary, but it's obviously the will of the Father by whatever means or whatever reason there may be. I don't question. So, of course, I have empathy. But one of the things that I fall back on is the fact that all feel that it is well-deserved. And this Nashville shooting kind of brought that to the forefront for me and a lot of other things. But the Nashville shooting was one of the reasons why I came to this thought because, okay, so there's a person, a being who is confused, who wants to be something that he isn't. He had a mental diseasement. And he decided to take lives. And to me, that's the epitome of a Gentile mind, a confused, diseased, mentally diseased individual. And it was just, it's mind-boggling to me, to be honest, why it is that people aren't seeing are not trying truly to connect these dots. You know, we have embarked on a journey that has given us the ability to do a lot of due diligence over the last few years to be able to be quiet and do this, do some research and study and be part of a now growing group of collective consciousness-minded people. And with that, I give great glory and great thanks to the Father for allowing me to be part of that. I am not, by no stretch of the imagination, a know-it-all or someone who has all understanding. No, I give that title to the Father and let it be. When I hear these tragedies, the first thing that comes to my mind is empathy, but yet it's a deserved empathy because back in the day, they did some things to our children. You know, they burned children. They burnt it. Look at Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama. They burnt down the schoolhouse, burnt down the churches, kids in it, didn't care. You know, they did a lot of things, you know, in their confused, enraged, mentally diseased minds at that time. And now all of these things that are upon us in this day and age, although it is bad for a lot of the Gentiles and the heathens, it is a beautiful thing for us, for me, because I get to see the confirmation of the word of the Father. You know, one of the things that I thought about this week was the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, to me, historically speaking, first, if we just look at Europe as a whole in history, we can determine that Europe has a lot of blood on their hands. Matter of fact, Europe is full of blood. Like, it's built on blood. It's built with blood. And it dawned on me that, you know, Christ said he's coming back and the blood will be up to the horse's bridle. To be honest, I'm trying to think of a place that has enough blood in it to where that will warrant Christ coming back to put forth blood, because we know in Numbers 30, 35, 33, blood is the only way to cleanse a land is by the blood of those that spilt it. So it has to be a place where there has been a lot of spilling of blood. Now, the Americas, there was a lot of spilling of blood. And as well as in Africa, there was a lot of spilling of blood, but none like it ever has been in Europe. Matter of fact, Europe, Roman, Greece, their histories is built upon conquering, which means that they're spilling blood from their inception. And that place has to have some strong cleansing to it. And, you know, when you look up Revelations and you look at, you know, the beast and how the beast will be destroyed and what's going to happen before, you know, It's just interesting. It's interesting because all this stuff is setting itself up for the greatest revelation ever seen. And that's something that he said, you know, I will not be known as the God who took my people out of Egypt, but I'll be known as the God who did even greater works for his people, taking them out in the second Exodus. So we are at this point, or rather the Gentiles are at the point of no return. And it says Revelation 13, it says, they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? Well, that's America, which ultimately is Europe. Who is like the beast? That's NATO, I should say. And who is able to wage war with him? There was given to him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authorities to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacles. That's NATO. That's the Western powers. And everything on the Western power hinges on D.C., Washington, D.C., London, Great Britain, and Rome, Italy. Those are the three entities that have no country, but is their own country. So, and their own rule, they make the rules. So this power has to go back to the beast. And when the power goes back to the beast, which is what we're seeing today, it's going to be there for a moment, a second, and then it will be destroyed. And it only makes sense that it all be destroyed in the Ukraine, because the Ukraine is Khazaria. Khazaria is Ashkenaz land, and Ashkenaz is the Ish. It's the Jewish people. And when we do deep studies in history, we can see this for what it is in terms of prophecy. And see, that's something else. Mind you, everyone has an understanding of the gospel. Everyone pretty much in their own thoughts, in their own ways, it might not be the actual gospel, but they have an understanding of the words that came out of Christ's mouth and what Christ said for them to do, whether they do it or don't. But what's interesting to me is that all of these people who think this way don't understand prophecy. It's like they don't want to acknowledge prophecy and what they've done. And, you know, we've heard before where, you know, we know that, you know, these people have systematically changed words, changed times, changed everything. So it's a confusion. And so right now, when we are dealing with a fundamental, complete overhaul, change of system, that these still going to be confused in as much as their understanding of the true gospel. What's the true gospel? The true gospel that Christ spoke about that had to be preached throughout the land before he comes is repentance and atonement. I know some people put in there baptism and all. It's repentance and atonement. And when we look at history in terms of European, Western history, we don't see any of that. What we see is hypocrisy and death. And for what it's worth, there are many good people out here. And it's a shame that those good people have to pay for what their leaders and their forefathers have done. And they have an opportunity, they have an out. They have to repent and atone. That goes back to what I've always said about working, faith and works. You can't just say, well, I believe in Jesus and think that that's it and go on and continue sinning. That's not how this works. And the Father has imparted upon his people. Now, he's got a lot of people mixed in, miscegenated all over the earth. But his people, who he has given insight to, is his remnant. And his remnant is going to understand all of those books that were sealed. We got understanding through that through Esdras, we got that through Daniel, John, that there's going to be books that are going that were to be sealed until the end. And we you know, 7, 5, 6 years ago, we'd be like, well, you know, what are these books? You know, so we got into a lot of historical books and we found different keys that opened up other books. But I'm here to tell you, like, some of the sealed books is like the Book of Mormon. It's like the apocryphal books. It's like all of the books that we now entertain that we never have entertained before. Why? Not because they weren't around. Not because we didn't know about them. It was because they were sealed to us. They were sealed to us. And in that sealing, we were only able to deal with the books that both the wise and wicked were able to read. Now, only us, only we, only the remnant, only the people can now read these books and gain insight and understanding from them so as to be able to give them to other people. Because the Gentiles have had these books for a long time, but they were unable to provide insight and understanding to the people with them. They just were unable because those books were not for their turn. Now it's our turn. We get the books back. We start putting things together. We start understanding these historical events as they apply themselves to the past, the present, and the future prophetically. It's like everything that we read or everything that I read that used to make sense in terms of the whole now doesn't. It's just like the Valley of the Dry Bones. You got pastors and preachers, black and white, so-called, out here trying to explain that as the people of the church. You've got all prophecy being explained by church applications. It's all about the church. But when you take a step back as one of the remnant who is taking control of his or her life and decided to walk on the narrow path, you act, those words actually rise up off the book, off the page, and they, that spirit tells you who you are, how to apply that, those words to who you are. And that is the crux of the matter right now. That is what's going on that is destroying this system. The Father has allowed us to see this early enough so that we can be out in front of it when it's really starting to happen. Now, how do we be out in front of it? That's the Father's will. That's what he's doing through us, for us, by us. We are now entering into Goshen, a peace of mind. Just like what Spiritual Light Passing Through said the other day, that revelations and prophecies have been written by the wicked because they're the ones that's catching the wrath. You know, and it's interesting because there's only been that I know of. I know Baruch spoke about it, but the Goshen is the key, because the righteous get Goshen, the wicked gets judgment. So when the Gentiles are always talking about judgment, 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 they're talking about themselves. When we're discussing Goshen, we're actually talking about peace of mind. Because right now there are a lot of changes, and emotionally and mentally, between all of the people who, so let's just say what they say. So white, black, right? There's a lot of varying emotions and physical deteriorations because of burdens that will not be atoned or repented for. So when we had an issue, when we were going through our tribulation, we looked back. There was, the burden of that, of them curses were heavy on us. Now it's changed, and now we can see it. What does that mean? That means that we don't need to, browbeat them. We don't need to stomp them while they're going through the curses. Although it would feel right to do so, it's not natural. It's not the right thing to do. And I'm not saying that, some people don't deserve it. They do. And the Father's will see that out, will ensure those that deserve it more will get it. But I'm just saying this as just a caveat because, we've got to understand that not every Gentile is a demon. Some Gentiles are asleep. A lot of people are waking up. And in their waking up, we have to do what we have to do, and that's to be a light to them. Because we are the people who are now rose up to be the light to them, who were supposed to be in the beginning. And I know, don't get me wrong, that's not easy. It's easier said than done. I know that. It's not something that I would say, go out and start, hey, how you doing? No. This is about the Gentiles seeking the Father to be able to find us to cleave to. Like, we ain't got to worry about that piece. That has nothing to do with us. That's all about the Father. But most of these Gentiles will have to pay, and they're going to pay a serious price, as we know. And something that I thought of with the Valley of Jehoshaphat was, where in Europe is the largest valleys, right? And what does that look like? The second largest valley in Europe is, and you might have heard of this before, is the Dnieper, the Dnieper Valley, which is located in Kherson. That might sound familiar to you because that's in the Ukraine today, okay? The first largest valley is in Budapest, okay? And all of that is within that same similar area region, that centralized area region between east and west. Now, these are large enough valleys to be able to have the entire Earth's army sent there. Now, what's interesting is we have a large bit of our army over there and equipment, and so does Russia. And yes, America's got to be purified, sure, because they have to get up off this land, because this was never their land. And, that's part of this whole awakening and understanding that the land is the key, because we have to know, once we get our inheritance back and our land back, everything changes, and that's what's happening today. So going back to this Ukraine scenario, this Valley Jehoshaphat, it just makes sense to me, and this is just based on what I've read and my understanding, what I've gained, that it's all going to happen there. It has to. Listen, AI is it's like I'm listening to these guys talk about AI. Now, AI is what they're trying to do in the Ukraine. They're trying to create this supercomputer AI to rebuild Ukraine. That's why they got all these gazillions of dollars that they've taken from us and brought over there. And it's interesting because what this valley will do, it will soon start to shake up as we see the West and the East begin to fight, because we know that Germany and France are now rethinking their stance with NATO. We know that the BRICS nations are having a networking luncheon and dinner to invite all nations that have resources to maybe come join the party. And we know that Jubilees 1532 says that he has put spirits over all nations to lead them astray from him, but not Israel. So all of these nations that are jockeying for position here in this next reset, this next empire building, which is funny because the father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has been empire building since he put man here. He is the number one empire builder. All the Gentiles need only, and it's funny because they love Daniel. They say, yeah, that Daniel, he's prophetic. That's a prophecy that we can get around. But they don't talk about his prophecy. They don't discuss his Gentile man statue prophecy. Each starts with gold, silver, bronze, and then iron, and then iron mixed with clay. So if the Gentiles have already had their heyday from gold, from the beginning, gold, then silver, then bronze, now we're into iron, which is not a material that is wanted to be, like, people don't want iron. It's not something that is a precious metal. So now we can look at the Gentile nations from the iron time, from their iron age, which is their Roman time, right, to today, and we can see that the mental illness come from the legs down. And this is where we are today. The Gentile nations have an end date. What's that end date? The feet. The Father will destroy the feet. That's why the feet is mixed with clay. Clay is the earth. The earth is his people. These are the commonalities of the understanding of that prophetic warning to the Gentiles. But the Gentiles don't understand that because they think that they can restart and reset again. Goes back to the AI thing. You got Elon Musk and him talking about, listen, we need to take a break, maybe a couple years break on this building this AI supercomputer, because we don't have the capacity to control it. And then they're ushering in their vision of prophecy, right? Because they want it to be the mark of the beast. They want it to be a mark in your hand, a chip, and this is what they have manifested. Their manifestation of prophecy has to also come to fruition to them. While we, our manifestation of prophecy is redeeming, it's redemption, it is Goshen, it is peace of mind. So we're manifesting that, they're manifesting this. So it's all coming to a head. And they're just really that blind, as we were, that they can't see they have set in motion their own destruction. And they'll have nobody to blame but themselves. Just like us. Just like our forefathers. Now they're the forefathers to their own destruction. Now we are the forefathers of peace and peace of mind, of Goshen, as our forefathers had it, the last Exodus. So all this stuff is coming to fruition. It's the yin and yang. It's the yes and no. It's good and evil. So everything's got to be balanced. So as, of course, one goes down, one goes up, here we are today. We have risen our subconscious to our collective conscious as a group, as a remnant, to be able to understand and see things that not everybody is able to understand and see. And yes, we all have an understanding, to what I said before, we all have an understanding of the gospel, but what's different is our eschatology. Our eschatology is different than a Gentile eschatology and absolutely different than a heathen eschatology. Heathens don't even believe it. It's just death. Like, death should not be something to be afraid of, because that is a natural order of things. But they're scared of death because they want to live here in their system forever. But when the system goes, they're going to be seeking death. That's what the Bible says. That's part of prophecy. That's part of scripture, the written word. So, you know, when we look at these things from a perspective of what's happening today and we start applying our own common sense and our own innate understanding of things, they have never heard us before. And because they never heard us before, we never got a chance to say what we saw or what we see, because we have been blinded. Now that we can see, now we're willing to say what we're seeing, but they're unwilling to hear it. It's only the brothers and the sisters that are in the walk that can see and hear. Now, not every brother and sister in the walk is the remnant. Doesn't mean that they're not going to get in or not. No, it just means that there's a remnant that's supposed to bring forth the ultimate light. And everybody else is part of that. They fit in. Even the heathens, even the Gentiles, because they fit in underneath. They fit in at the bottom. They fit in at the tail. So they have a part to play in the balancing of the kingdom to come. So that's why we shouldn't even be upset at them. We should just watch their empire fall, which is a beautiful thing, because their systems have been geared to destruction, to vices, to a lot of vice work. Nothing is virtuous. Nothing. You know, their churches are even set up as places of networking for vice. You know, confession. Why do I need to confess? What do I need to? Are you here for a confession? What? Confess to who? For what? I don't need to be confessing to you. I need to be confessing to the Father. I need to be repenting. And you see, herein lies the issue. They would rather repent and atone secretly to themselves than outwardly to the Father. And this is where we are. We're confessing. We're doing the right things. We have our eyes open. We're seeing that their ways are not correct. And they have to hear us. This is the first time they have to hear us. It's the first time they see us. It's like they've never seen us before. It's amazing. Especially as black men, as a black man, they've never seen us. And I mean, damn sure. I mean, I would be working with people, and you know, I work with them. So if I get to work at 8, we go to lunch at 12. I'll be out. Let's say that we're at the mall's food court. I'm just saying, somewhere out in the street for lunch, and I see them, and yet it looks like to me that they see me, but they don't even acknowledge. They don't even acknowledge. Now it's changed. Now I'm seeing a turn of that, where the acknowledgement is they're seeing us, and now they're trying to figure out how to acknowledge us. And, you know, we're not being disgruntled to them. We're not treating them bad. We are just living our life, much like they did. But we're not doing it their way, which is perplexing them and creating in them great consternation. That's why a lot of them are having problems right now, and they're thinking of offing themselves. And it's a shame, starting to see now that's on the rise. And this whole transition situation that they got going on, I don't see, and it's just me, and I really ain't been looking like talking about, but when it comes in front of me via the TV or the computer, I don't see us there. I don't see us waving flags. I could be wrong, because it's all just a bumble mess to me anyway, and I'm not really looking deep, but what I see is a lot of Gentiles, a lot of Europeans. And I see that they're talking in a way that they're trying to make people think that they have a struggle. Like their struggle of within this transition that they're talking, this struggle is benign. And it's like, wait, you chosen that. You literally chose that. How are you struggling? Are you struggling with your decision? Aha. This is one of these situations that they have embarked on that they can't. It's like no takebacks. There's no takebacks here, and they're realizing that there's no takebacks, that they can't really change back like they can't, you know, it was all fun and games when they could just throw a wig on and some makeup and some high heels and a dress, and then the next day they could go back in, you know, their suit and tie. But when they do this thing that they've been doing, now it's not as easy to do that, to change. And they're having problems. And the whole world is having problems with this, because it's just not happening here. It's all over the place. And especially over in Israel, so-called Israel, and Palestine today. It's all over, not with the Palestinians per se, but over in the Palestinian land that they occupy Palestinian land. I mean, this thing has gotten so big that you can only imagine what it's doing to the Father. His creation is telling him that you made a mistake. You made a mistake. And he's like, what? What do you mean? What? The audacity, the caucasity of you. And they're like, well, we don't care. We can do what we want to do. The children can do it. We can do it. And he's like, oh, my goodness. And we wonder why the winds are wrecking havoc all over the earth. We wonder why the people are in such an uproar all over Europe. We wonder why that there's wars and earthquakes in diverse places. We wonder why people are choosing to take themselves out. We wonder why there's so much confusion. Well, we don't wonder. We know why. They wonder why. And in their wondering, in their bewilderment, they're running around in a great stupor. And all we can do is sit back because they won't listen to us. And really, it's too late for a lot of them, especially those that are in this transition phase. And, you know, who the hell am I to say it's too late, but I just feel in my heart it's kind of too late. Like, they've chosen something that is completely against, you know, because if you look in history and you go, oh, well, there were eunuchs, and the eunuchs didn't choose that. They didn't choose that. Oh, well, there's always been gay. Only in European nations did you see a lot of that. Was that a norm? And is there any coincidence that it's the same? Now, people say, well, what about Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, that was a place that was to itself. Like, if you got caught up walking by Sodom and Gomorrah, then you were either you chose your own fate, because most people knew not to go by there because that place was full of vice. But there's been many a story written about Sodom and Gomorrah and the way that they were doing things. And when you take a look at the way they were doing things and what they were doing, and you correlate and apply that to European nations, you can see the same similarities. You can change this, change that, poke this, poke that, all against the norm. What's the norm? A man and a woman, he created to populate the earth. Well, you can't populate the earth any other way. Now, you can and group this, group that, but is that actually bringing forth righteous seed? No. Yes and no. Yes and no. But if it's a man and a woman who was brought together and they bring forth the seed, is it yes or no? Now, what's the no? What's the yes? The society and the parent, the parenting. And right now, our society and our parenting has been broken by our leaders, by a European leadership. Ruled, reigning leadership or thinking. And at some point, that's got to go. It's just not, it's not a plausible way to move forward. It's just not. I mean, all the things that JoJo Magoo and Philly Kamali and Obama and Clinton, Bushes, all the things that they've done, if you just look at it from my vantage point, it is make money. Make money at all costs. And that's not what – it has been self-serving at all costs, by all means. And that is not what the Father put them there, but that's their choice. That was their choice. That was their free agency. Their destiny was the same, right? But their free agency was to make the choice, to choose. And this is what they chose. They went right along with their destiny. They didn't even care. Now everybody who has walked that walk on the broad way is struggling. Lots and lots and lots of them are struggling. But hey, Israel, true Israel, is waking up, and they're good, and that that is the good news, and that should be thanked every day for. If the elect scarcely get in, you know, these heathens and Gentiles, it's a no. to know for the Father. And that's not me saying, well, I know what the Father is. That's what he said. No, that's the elect scarcely get it. So, you know, at the end of the day, we who are walking the walk of an Israelite, we have to understand these signs, these wonders, but we don't have to be enamored by them. We just have to understand them. It's just like the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, before, let me get back real quick to Ukraine to have that up. So the basin of this Dnieper River, the valley, is 195,000 square miles, okay? The length of it is 1,368 miles. Just to give some reference. So just to give some reference, so Texas is 268,597 square miles, okay? So this is 195,000 square miles. So that's a huge piece of land. Texas is the largest state. So we're talking, you know, we're talking, well, Germany. So Germany, 138,065 square miles. Okay? So the Dnieper Basin is bigger than Germany in Ukraine, which tells you Ukraine's bigger than Germany. 213,011 square miles. So it's in between, it's bigger than Germany, but it's slightly smaller than France, this area. Could all the Earth's military fit into Germany and France? Absolutely. Absolutely. So getting back to Jehoshaphat, where did I start here? So let's read it. 2 Chronicles 30, and this is 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side, Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, okay, all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people, before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and had built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. This is where we are. This is what we need to be doing. That's nine. We need to be doing. The remnant, we need to be doing. 10. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit? O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Matenai, and Levi of the sons of Aspa, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So let's pause there for a second, because as I read this and I apply this, this is what's happening today. We're coming to our Father and asking for recompense, for judgment. I'm going to digress a second. What's that place? San Francisco is now saying that if they give reparations to the descendants of to San Francisco descendants, then that's 800 million. It's upwards to 800 million already. Now, I had a hard time with that because I'm going, well, if it's they ain't supposed to give us reparations anyway. It's going to be the Father's going to rep. Well, then I got in the spirit, I got a thought and said, well, why? How do you know that's not the father's will giving them the money? I don't. But what I know is that the Father is destroying their system. And their system is built on the dollar. So if these who wouldn't give us a penny before decided to give us money in upwards of almost $1 billion, I have to question it, because that would mean that the money is no good, in my opinion. And that's actually fact, because that's what we're seeing happen. So they're going to try to give us a ton of money, a ton of this, a ton of that. But that's not what the Father wants from us. That's not what he wants. He wants us to have it all. It all. So if we continue to take the mark of the beast, well, then we'll be with them. Because what can you do with that money other than use it within their system? I don't want this money to use in their system. I want the new money. I want the new system of bartership, the new system of value within the kingdom to come. And to be honest with you, that's not too far away. I mean, these BRICS people, they think that they're gonna change the game, which they are, but they're setting up to change the war against their enemy, which is America. So they're doing it to bring down America. They're not doing it to change the system. Their system is always going to be a capitalistic type system. Nah, they're communist. Nah. Somebody gonna own it. China's capitalistic. Don't sleep. They talk that communal stuff, but somebody owning something. The government's the capitalist there. Them and Russia and all the other nations have been capitalists because they've been with us. NATO, okay? So, and I'm going somewhere with this, because when we see that they're creating this commotion within themselves, let's get back to Second Chronicles, to Jehoshaphat. And it is, he says, and this is 15, and he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeriel. Yea, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. This is the point. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. This is the beauty of us coming back together. Now, if we just take a step, let's just step aside for a second, and let's take all the scripture, let's take everything away and just set it to the side for a second. Okay, just set it for aside for a second. One thing that we know about who we are, let's just say who we are. Let's say the Negro, right? We are not unified. We have never utilized our collective consciousness as a group. It's always been splintered. This group says this. This group says that. This one takes the money. This one doesn't. This one dies. This one stays alive. It's always been that situation. But survival as a group has been the ultimate course. However, unifying within that collective course or collective consciousness has not been seen in centuries. It's not been seen in centuries because it's always been crushed. Why? Because of this right here. This. Because when we are collectively conscious, unified together, with the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, no one can come against us. No one. So this is what the Father did. He told him, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites praised the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers, watch this, singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, as Esau, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. I'm going to read that again because that's fascinating, brutal. And when they had begun to sing and to praise. Now watch this because that's the key. Us unifying, singing and praising to our Father. An act of collective consciousness, of unity within the comfort and bosom of our Father, our God. While we were doing that, the Lord set ambushes like the Father said, ooh, that's, ooh, I like to hear that. Let me, boom, ooh, that boom. Take him out. Do that. You hear my people, they praising me. They worshiping me. They ain't worshiping these idols. They ain't worshiping themselves. They ain't worshiping the land. They ain't worshiping Cesar Borgia. They're not worshiping Jojo Magoo. They're not worshiping the dollar. They're worshiping me. And he said to Ammon and Moab, go and destroy Mount Seir. I'm just going to pause for a second. Mount Seir. Is that not what we're doing right now? Is that not what they doing right now? Ammon and Moab together going against Mount Seir? Is that not what's happening? Is that not the valley of Jehoshaphat? Now watch this. And when Judah came toward the water, I'm sorry, when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, now watch this, because again, we talk about reparations, we talk about recompense, all that good stuff, right? And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. That's fascinating to me. That's telling me, hey, these jokers are going to come over there. Well, as we know, they're going to try to, they're going to be fighting each other. They're going to fight, and then they're going to turn themselves. They're going to turn against our brother Yahawashi, right? And they're going to turn against him. But then they're going to be all dead, and all they're going to have brought all their minerals, all their gold, all they're going to have brought it all with them. All their riches is going to come with them. And see, the Gentiles and the heathens, they say this stuff, oh, that stuff happened back, that was Babylon time, that was Assyrian time. Listen, the problem with the Gentile mind is that that mindset cannot understand that the Father does not change. He does the same thing over and over and over again. So in the redeeming of Israel, in the great switch of situation, he's going to do this. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the ramping up of this. Second Chronicles 20, which then leads to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Judgment. Because our people, when all of that's going to be going on, the remnant will be in Goshen, praising and worshiping without ceasing until the Father says, okay, go get your recompense. Now this land is yours. I've cleansed it with their blood. Take your land back. And this is going to be happening all over. All over. The main will be there in Europe because Europe has a heavy, 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 heavy millstone tied around their neck. And America has a big, burdensome millstone tied around its neck. Be over there fighting. So both burdens will destroy the Gentiles. And they got nothing, they won't have nobody to complain to. This is going to be the greatest exchange of situation there ever was and there ever will be again. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. And Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 30 and 5. Okay, then it goes into... The Second Chronicles was interesting. I started reading a lot of it, and you know, it's very, very interesting. But this piece right here, 20, going into how the Jehoshaphat, going into what Jehoshaphat. So when we hear this verse, so when we hear this,
Joel 3:2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. We can go back to 2 Chronicles and understand what that's going to look like and what we will have to do. Because, see, he said, he's telling you in Joel said what it will happen, what the Father is going to do, what he's going to judge. So he's like the court recorder. Okay? I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink, that they might drink. And then this is the judgment. But when you go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, you're hearing what we're going to be doing. This is the side of the righteous. What we're going to be doing, singing and praising and getting our comeuppance. This is what they don't want to be discussing with us. They want everybody on the judgment side. They want everybody to feel this here judgment. That's why they changed everything, because now they're going, oh, well, you're American, so therefore you're going to take some of the punishment of America. No. Be in her, but not of her. Come up out of her. And they get mad when we say these things, and they get mad because they think that we're not for them. Well, we're for them. We just need them to understand that we're first for our Father. Because when we were trying to be for them, they doo-dooed all over us. They doo-dooed all over us, literally and figuratively. This is what they did. And now, for some strange reason, they got that look on their face when we come around. Are these them? Who? What? And now you're hearing on TikTok and social media, you're seeing all these Gentiles now coming out stating the obvious, stating what we already knew, but stating it to their people. Now that goes into Jeremiah 16:19. Like, we already know that they will go to church and network and do their thing to make money, to capitalize off of us, and then go out and then pray to a lynched Negro, whitewashed Christ, and then go outside, get a picnic started, lynch and burn and eat a brother or sister. Now, this is all done on their day after their church. And see, the Father is very great because he made them. Okay, so they didn't want to tell any of this. Ah, that CRT, that stuff is crazy talk. That doesn't make any sense. That's a theory. We don't need to talk about that. We don't want the white kids. No, not even. You know, I didn't care when we had to see ourselves watching that with my parents back in the, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, and my mom and my dad were like, oh, we're going to watch this. This is the miniseries of 3-day miniseries, or whatever. And we're like, well, I was like, what? What? And they were like, all right, let's watch this. So we watching it. And my mom was salty. And I was like, why is this making my mom? And I'm a kid. You know, I'm 9. So I'm looking at this and, you know, I'm going, man, this doesn't make me feel good watching this. But they didn't give two filth darn filths about the way I felt. They still to this day call it, well, slavery, slaves. Well, what the hell is a slave in slavery? Who were the people? Let's get to that. You made them slaves, but who were these people? And then you got brothers, oh, well, they're African. And you got brothers, oh, they're Aboriginal and Indigenous. Let them tell us. Because they holding all the records. They got all the information. They did it. But they need to tell it. Oh, we don't want to tell it because, you know, that may make some of our white kids feel bad. Well, it's just this vicious cycle. You're either going to tell it or it will be told for you. And now it's being told for them. They can't go nowhere. It's Ron DeSantis fellow trying to hide in their curses. They're trying to hide the truth again, and it's not working. They're going to have lots of problems in Florida. Mark my words, lots of problems going forward. And that dude right there, he's going to be exposed. Something wicked this way comes on that man. Mark my words. I can see it and feel it. Every time I see him, every time he spouts off and all the actions and things that he's done is manifesting evil his way. Same with Biden, same with Kamala, same with all of them. And everyone else who is not on the right side of the Father. And brother was talking about the other day, or Judah was talking about the other day, Pliny and them. Listen, these guys have sat back for so long and believed that their doo-doo doesn't stink. And now all of a sudden they're catching major whiffs of it, and they're going, who is that? And they're going, oh, that's Biden. Or that's Bush. Just like Bush. Prime example, Bush. Talking about the Ukraine war, does a slip of tongue and says the Iraq war. We've seen it. I mean, is that not them doing it to themselves? And now, Russia and China and the BRICS gang got blood. They are seeking blood. And you got Biden over here talking about, well, I think Israel should, rethink what they're doing. And Netanyahu, he's going to turn around and be like, I think you need to mind your business. And then the African nations go, I think you need to mind your business. China's like, I think you need to mind your business. Russia's like, I think you need to mind your business. France is like, I think you need to mind your business. Germany's like, I think you need to mind your business. What's left? Canada's like, listen, I think you might need to mind your business. Mexico's like, listen, we know you need to mind your business. Everyone is setting themselves up. And it's like spiritualized. These people over here are so blind now, and it's fitting that they're so blind because of what they've done, but they're so blind that they can't see that nobody likes them. The bully is soon to find out that he ain't got no friends, that all the friends that he had through bullying, who he thought was his friends, really were conspiring against him. This is where we are, and all that's biblical. All of that is scriptural. All of that is karma. And that's what Americans don't like. They don't like karma unless it's in their benefit. They'll talk about if it's in their benefit all day, be all on all the news agencies talking about karma, of what they gain through the karma. But when it affects them in the negative, they don't talk about it. That's like CRT. That's karma. The earthquakes. That's karma. Yesterday, a barge in the Ohio River carrying poison toxic liquid sinks. Wormwood, anybody? And that's funny because when you look at prophecy, you got to look at prophecy as not as the Gentiles do in in order as it's written. There's a word, it starts with a C, sequence. It's not going to happen like that. It can happen any way the Father wants it. Just know that these things will happen. So that means that wormwood could be happening first, before the fire. You see? But what we do know is the Valley of Jehoshaphat is a wrap. So when it gets to that, it's a wrap. But we're in the build-up phase. The Father is still so merciful that he is willing to give everyone an opportunity that asks for it, that does the right and asks for it. Can't just do it, ask it, and be at the club. You can't just do it, ask it, and then be, you know, killing, stealing, raping, robbing, lying, and cheating. Can't do that. You're dead to him in that regard. But if you're actively pursuing, just like if you're on your job, you actively pursue how to get paid and get paid more, same thing. On your job, you're out there, look, I got to do this. The man say, I got to do this. So I got to do this. Oh, I'm going to get a bonus. Ooh, I made this money. Oh, I did this. I did that. Same thing. You did something for that reward. You're doing something. You can't go to your job and just sit on your hands and think you're going to get a paycheck. They're not going to pay you like that. You might get one or two, but after that, they're going to kick you out. Well, the Father's the same way. You got to be doing something to get this paid, to get paid. And in his case, paid is mercy. Paid is safety. Paid is salvation. And, you know, brothers want to talk about, you know, being in the system and trying to make changes within their system. Why? Their system is done. What we need to be focusing on is ourselves, our families, and doing the right thing, walking, talking, treating people the way we want to be treated, period. That's the easiest piece to it, but it seems like it's the hardest because the Gentiles can't do that. But we can. We can now. We love our Father. We love Yahweh Shai. We love the Holy Spirit. And we treat one another accordingly, righteously. Shoot, that's the door. That's the keys. Those are the keys. Because when you're doing that, you're in the right frame of mind for the Spirit and the Father to work for you. If you ain't doing that, he don't want to work with you. Speak to him. You stink. And that's what the Gentiles are starting to see. As a matter of fact, they saw it in 2020 when they all came up and they were all in the world's view. God talked to me last night. And he told me that Trump's going to win. That's what he told me. And they all start saying, yes, he said it to me too, and I heard it. Me too, me too. I said, me too, me too. They were wrong. They had shame. That was the beginning of the end right there. Of their prophets. Of their fake prophets. Now they don't even want to talk about much of nothing. Now they, and you know, it's funny because 10 years ago, on YouTube, when they were putting their services and they were putting their pontifications on there and telling people Psalms 83 explained. I'll explain it to you. I know what this is. I'll explain it to you. Oh, leave a comment. I'll explain it to you. Now there ain't no comment. Oh, I want you to leave no comment. Don't leave a comment. Don't even talk to me. Matter of fact, I'm pulling the plug. No comments allowed. They're news reporting. They give you an article, someone's opinion. You can't leave a comment. It used to be that you could use a comment. You can leave a comment. It used to be that. Whether it was ignorant or nice, you can leave a comment. Now they don't want you leaving no comment. Now they don't want you talking. That's why for us to come together in a collective consciousness of unity, within the umbrella, under the umbrella, and within the bosom of the Father, create their demise faster, just as fast as we're praising, as fast as they die, as fast as they are being destroyed. And they don't like that. But shoot, they'll look at World War II films and color. We got it in Technicolor. We'll see the killing up close in Technicolor. When it's their salvation, being shown to not be their salvation. And we'll talk about it. When it's their history to be shown as their history, they don't want to talk about it. They don't even want to talk about how they don't even want to talk about how they acquired knowledge. So, you know, the Israelites, ancient Israel, we acquired this knowledge through the Father. The Gentile nations, Pliny, Pythagoras, so-and-so, this man, this white man, this white man, this white man, that Asian man. But wait, how did you acquire this information? We knew all this. Ask Pythagoras. Which, mind you, funny side note, the Pythagoras theory, I saw this today, that these two sisters, these two young Israelites, because the theory is that, but that it's a circle, that it can't be trigonometry, it can't be solved without using a circle. Well, these sisters, these two young girls, figured it out. The Spirit gave them understanding of their mathematics, of our mathematics, and said, oh, no, you can do it with a triangle. I was sorry. Yeah, there you go. Two teens might have found proof for a 2,000-year-old theorem thought to be impossible. Calcia Johnson and Nakia Jackson have been encouraged to submit their work to peer-reviewed journal. Let's see if they explain it. The Pythagorean proposition, which writes that there are no trigonometric proofs because all the fundamental formulae of trigonometry are themselves based upon the truth of Pythagorean theorem. Now hear what I just listen to this. The Pythagorean theorem proposition, which Pythagorean is the one that they said, oh, he created mathematics. He's the smart guy, this Greek dude who stole the information, as we know, which writes that there are no trigonometric proofs because all the fundamental formulae of trigonometry are themselves based upon the truth of the Pythagorean theorem. The two students countered Loomis' claim, writing, we present a new proof of Pythagorean's theorem, which is based on a fundamental result of trigonometry minus the law of scenes minus and we show that the proof is independent of Pythagorean trig identity thin, and they give you the equation. And it's here on, and matter of fact, out of New Orleans. That's right, out of New Orleans. You know, the bottom, where they want to act like we ain't nothing, you know. It's in the Guardian. It's all over the place. They make it stories. Basically, they saying that they don't know what they're talking about. So all this stuff has come to a head where we are now reaching heights that we've always been at, but we've been kept low because of our own blindness, because of our father's sins, our mother's sins, because we were under the curses. But now that 2019, the 400 years, the last 400 years of our captivity, has come and gone. Look at what we're achieving, and look at what they're achieving. And they want to act like, oh, that was Egypt. Mm-mm. No, okay, that's fine. You can believe that. That's fine. I don't have time to argue, nor do I care of what you're saying. All I know is what I know. And this is what they've tried to stop us from knowing, what we know. This is our heritage. This is our inheritance to know. Knowledge truth has been stunted under the rule and age of the Gentile. It had been stunted because in our culture, as an Israelite culture, we were able to question. I mean, look at all the prophets. They always question the Father. I mean, why can't you question looking for the truth? How else are you going to know? How else are you going to know if you don't ask the question? But when the Gentiles ruled, they were like, mm-mm. After they said Pliny discovered the world and is God, turns around and they were like, oh, no, you can't ask no more questions. And whenever someone did ask questions, they were destroyed or ostracized. So the truth is undefeated. We have now turned the corner to be able to ask the question. And the funny of the whole thing is we ain't even asking them anything. So the question is not asked to them, it's asked to our Father, which is why it is blowing their minds how we are finding these answers out, how we're getting this information. They're like, well, we didn't give you that information. We're holding all the lies. Oh, goodness gracious, we just told on ourselves again. That's how this is working. After the last 400 years of our captivity, the truth made a triumphant comeback. And everyone looked at it and was like, oh, it's my truth, or you don't know the truth. I know the truth. Oh, that's fake news. That's it. The truth said, don't worry about that. Come on. Keep following me. And they were like, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to listen to us. We know what we're talking about. And we were like, sorry. We're listening to the Father. Matter of fact, we're listening to the Spirit that the Father has given us innately. Do you have that? And they're like, well, you don't know what you're talking about. T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, any other fake prophet, come out here and tell them about them. What was that? Perry Stone, come out here and tell them about them. And they're like, well, let me tell you something. This is how it's supposed to be. And we're like, we're not listening to you. And they're like, what do you mean you're not listening to me? We're listening to the truth. You're lying. Well, I'm not lying. And then they got mad. Then they got sad. And now this is where they are. Bad and mad. Mad and sad. And we're over here at Goshen with peace of mind, happy and glad. And this is just how we roll. With all of these Gentile trolls and souls that can't even keep up in this game. And the Father ain't playing. The Father ain't playing with them. Shoot, he ain't play with us. He ain't play with us. There's no respect to our people. You're right. He ain't play with us. He put the wood straight to us. And who the hell are you? Well, you know, we are, we know. Are you a Gentile? Well, Gentiles can get in. So you know that you're a Gentile. Then who are we? Well, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to discuss that. Huh? Okay, so since you guys aren't discussing that, we'll discuss it amongst ourselves. We'll sing and praise our Father ourselves. Oh, no, don't do that. Why not? Well, who are we then? You guys are African. Well, African, that's a mighty big place over there. Tell us where you got us from. Oh, hold on. Putin, we got to fight Putin. Hold on. We got to get to deal with this transition. Hold on. We got to stop the guns. Hold on. But wait. Slow down. Yeah. You got to do all that. But who are we? Where did you get us from? Show us the records of who we are. Give us our information back. Oh. This is where we are. And that leads us right now to where we are in 2023. They are in a stupor because they cannot believe that we have moved past them, so far past them, in their small mind, we would be asleep forever. That's what DeSantis, We need to fight this wokeism. So you want everybody asleep? Is that what you're saying? Well, see, when we get to ask the question, their culture dies. It reminds me of the song In Living Color. Let me see if I can get that. Living Color. Thank goodness this thing is on. Personality In Living Color. I don't want to be dinged, so.
Talk right down to earth, language that everybody here deeply understands.
So I'm again, but that, it makes sense. All these things that we did and we did, that our people were bringing forth back in the day, that, you know, the music, even the brothers back early on in the conscious game that wanted to put us to Africa, all of that was meant for us now. All of that was given to us then while we were asleep, but it was meant for us to acknowledge and understand now. In terms of what they were saying, everything that they were saying made sense, makes sense now, but not necessarily then. Not necessarily then. So, brothers and sisters, I'm just your happy servant watching this theater of the fall of the revived Roman Gentile heathen empire with you. And I thank you for being part of this show with me, and if I can do anything for anybody, please reach out. And, you know, just know that we are now at the point, at the precipice of our collective consciousness, our unifying in our collective consciousness, and because of that, this system is going to fall even faster. And it's not necessarily that we have to do away with our money, or the Father's going to take care of us however way he deems fit, as long as we are within his collective consciousness and unified in doing so. So, brethren, sisters, I bid you farewell and shalom, and hope this was edifying, and peace. As our redemption is even nearer. Shalom.